Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
And it's a long, long story. I won't go into all of it, but one example is that after I had quit school, I got reclassified and sent for my draft physical. And I passed my physical. And so they reclassified me 1A. And I had a recruiter come to my house. You got to remember, I was 18 years old. Here comes a 30-something-year-old man dressed in a military uniform to my house, an authority figure. And he comes and he sits down at my table. And he opens up his briefcase and he spreads out all of these pamphlets. And he says, I want to show you all of the benefits of you volunteering for the draft instead of being drafted. He says, we may be able to keep you from going to Vietnam. And you could get this assignment and stuff. And he started his spiel. And I just stopped him and I said, look, I can save both of us a lot of time. And he says, what's that? And I said, the reason I'm classified 1A and that you're here is because I quit school and I lost my student deferment. And he said, that's right. And I said, but you see, God told me to quit school. So I'm following God. And if God wants me to be drafted, I'll be drafted. And if he doesn't, I won't. And you know what this guy did? He broke out laughing. He started laughing and he said, boy, I can guarantee you, you're going to Vietnam. And you know, when he did that, here I was valuing God and saying, God is important in my life. God's will is more important to me than anything else. God spoke to me and I believed God and I believed God was all powerful. And I believed God was supreme. I had value and worth on God. Here was another person that had zero worth on God. He says, I'm representing the United States government. Who is God compared to me? And you know what? When that came across, and he said, I can guarantee you, you're going to Vietnam. Boy, anger rose up on the inside of me. I was an 18-year-old boy talking to a guy who had the power to get me drafted. And I stood up and I put my finger in his chest like this. And I started punching him. And I said, buddy, if God wants me drafted, I'll be drafted. And if he doesn't, you or the United States government or every demon in hell can't draft me. Amen. You know what I was doing? I was saying I still value God and his opinion and what he says more than you. And when I did that, this guy just looked at me. He folded up all of his papers. He put them in his briefcase and he walked out the door. Never said a word. And you know, the very next morning, I got my draft notice in the mail. And I didn't think about it then. I would have loved to have seen if it had a postmark on it or a stamp. I bet you what happened. That guy probably went down and processed my papers and stuck the draft notice in my mailbox. I don't know. But I didn't care because I was trusting God. And you know what? In hindsight, Vietnam's the best thing that ever happened to me. Because I was a Baptist when I went to Vietnam. And when I came out, I had spent 15 hours a day for 19 months studying the Word, and I didn't intend to do it, but they didn't want me in the Baptist church when I came out. My theology had changed, and they kicked me out, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. It was a good deal. It was my Bible school. But you see what I'm saying? Here I was valuing God, and here comes an authority figure that if I would have started valuing his opinion, I would have quit glorifying God. And before I know it, I would have felt like, God, what happened to that experience where I knew that you loved me and that you spoke to me and that you changed my life? And I would have said, God, where is it? God, move again. God, help me to get it back. See, there's a lot of people that when they run into a dry spell, when they don't feel the love of God, instead of them recognizing it's because they shut the spigot off, they're the ones that stop the flow. They go back and they say, oh, God, what happened? Did I displease you? Have you quit? Oh, God, show me your love. I have people come to me all the time and says, brother, would you pray for me that God would just reveal his love to me and that I could feel his love? And no, I won't pray that. And a lot of you think, well, what's wrong with that? You are supposing that it's God that shut off the spigot, that it's God who's not speaking His love. The truth is, God is speaking His love to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you aren't feeling the love of God, it's not God who's not giving, it's you that's not receiving. And so if you want to say, I know that God loves me, the Bible makes it very clear, but I'm not feeling it, there's something wrong with me, would you pray that I would get unclogged and let the love of God flow? I'll pray for that. But for you to pray and say, would you please pray that God would love me? No, I won't pray that, because God already loves you. There's nothing I can do to motivate God to love you more. That's like when people come and says, would you please pray that God loves? I had a woman come up and she said, I've been praying for my husband for 20 years and God hadn't answered my prayer, but I believe He'll answer your prayer. Would you pray and ask God to save my husband? And I said, no, I won't pray for God to save your husband. And she was offended at first. She says, why wouldn't you do that? I said, the way you stated this, you believe it's up to God whether your husband gets saved or not. I said, God's already done everything about saving your husband He can do. He's already sent His son. He died. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. And I said, it's not God who doesn't want it. You're thinking that somehow or another, God's just not motivated. I said, God's more motivated for your husband to be saved than you are. You don't need to pray and plead with God to save your husband. I said, but He's got to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Pray that laborers come across His path. You speak to Him. You rebuke the blindness. I said, there's other things we can do, but we do not have to motivate God to save anybody. God is already motivated. But see, this is how most people pray. They think, God, why haven't you saved this person? Because nobody's talked to them. Because nobody's shown them the power of God. They haven't seen a miracle happen. You need to get out and let revival flow through you and see something happen. And people will start getting saved. Miracles will start happening. But see, it's not God who shuts off the spigot. God is on all of the time. It's like speaking in tongues. You know what? I sometimes, if a person comes down here to receive the baptism and if they have an ecstatic experience and they just get overwhelmed and they start speaking in tongues loud and it's like they can't control it, you know what I'll do? I'll stop them. And I'll say, stop. And sometimes they don't want to stop. And I'll just literally, physically stop them and say, stop. Not because I'm upset with them. There's nothing wrong with you being excited, but I'm trying to teach people that you don't have to feel this ecstatic thing, because you aren't always going to have a goosebump going up and down your spine. And you need to teach people that, hey, it's great to feel things, that's fine, but you can speak in tongues without just being overwhelmed and caught up into the presence of God. You can just do it. And then when I tell people that, I'll have them stop and then I'll say, all right, now let's speak in tongues again. And I'll have them do it in a calmer tone of voice, because you aren't always going to be able to scream and shout and run and roll. And when I do that, I've had people stop me before and they say, so you're saying that I can just turn the Holy Ghost on and off? No. The Holy Ghost is on all of the time. It's you that's on and off. And you can turn you on and start speaking in tongues anytime you want. You can keep yourself in the love of God. What it says in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. It's up to you whether you are feeling the love of God. It's up to you whether you are happy and joyful. It's not up to God. I have people all the time and say, I've lost my joy. Would you please pray? You know what you're doing? You're advocating responsibility. And you're saying it's up to God whether you feel joy or not. It's not. It's up to you. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And on it goes and lists 9 things. God has already put this on the inside of you. It's there 24 hours a day. It's always there. If you don't feel joy and love and peace, it's not God who's not giving it. It's the fact that you're out here in the flesh. You have valued something else, and that has diminished what God has said. And so what you've got to do is reverse the process and go back and start believing the Word. Instead of saying, oh God, please touch me and give me joy. It's not God that took it away. He doesn't have it. He gave it to you. You got it. I'm preaching better than you're listening. That's good stuff. This is totally opposite the way most people think. I'm telling you, if you've ever been touched by the Lord, and if you've ever at one time just been so in love with the Lord, but if you aren't now, I can tell you exactly what happened. You started glorifying something other than the Lord. Either another person's opinion, or maybe something tragic happened, and you started focusing your attention on that. You know, another scripture that goes right along with this is Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Carol, if you'll put that up on the screen, it'll save me having to look it up. It says, that's not right. How about Romans chapter 11, verse 13? I may have to look this up. I can find it real quickly. Oh, here it is, Romans 11, 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Did you know that the word magnify there, the Greek word, is the exact same Greek word that was translated glorify in Romans 1, 21? And so by putting these together, here's another way that you could explain what it means to glorify the Lord. It means to magnify. When you place value on God and you focus on what God has done, you know what? It magnifies God. There's a number of scriptures that says, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. How can you magnify God? You know, technically speaking, God is who he is regardless of what you think. If you don't think God's big, it doesn't make him little. It just means that in your mind, he's little. If you don't value him and glorify God, God is still worthy of all praise and he's still almighty and powerful. He's just not that way to you. It's your value that gets altered. And you know how you magnify him? You magnify him by putting worth and value on him. And when you do that, your mind, if you start thinking about, boy, God spoke to me. God touched me. God has called me. There's a purpose for my life. And if you start thinking that way, you know what it does? It makes God get bigger in your way of thinking. It makes God bigger than cancer, bigger than somebody who passes out or whatever happens. And you get to where you don't fall apart like a $2 suitcase every time something happens. And you go to esteeming God higher than other things. And pretty soon, God's big and everything else is small, and it just changes your entire outlook.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Fulfill God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1068C for CD or R3212D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU19 titled, What About Your Values? When you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.